Please just come sit down right
yes.
over here.
And
could I ask all of the speakers to please come up and sit down at the front so we can have some conversation? And if you have questions, please step up to one of the microphones. Maybe I can start, if I might, by asking Dr. Cortell. A device that ultrafilters net ultrafiltration of 1 milliliter per minute seems to me to be perhaps much more valuable among the very large group of patients with congestive heart failure in the country than those with dialysis needs. What are your thoughts about that?
Of course, that's come up repeatedly, and that's a pure need for ultrafiltration. I think it's got to be part of the development, and quite frankly, there's no support at the moment for chronic ultrafiltration of congestive heart failure patients. Nobody will pay for it, but this device clearly would be beneficial to those patients.
Yeah, Dr. Cortell, I understand you propose to reduce the dialysis time based on the fact that the KTVV increased, which seems to indicate that if you improve KTVV, you're going to get better outcomes, which is not necessarily true. In trials in which you improve KTVV, you start seeing lesser outcomes. But you also want to decrease the time on dialysis, so you basically propose to put a patient on a device for ultrafiltration only. If I'm going to, as a clinician, put my patient on a device for ultrafiltration, but I reduce his dialysis, I'm not going to get the benefit of beta 2 microglobulins removal, phosphorus removal, peak crestal removals, and others. So what is the rationale for reducing dialysis except for fluid control?
I think your point is well taken. I don't think our 12 patients tells us how everybody would do, but I would say at the outset, the compliant patient who doesn't have any problem with dietary potassium and has reasonable phosphorus control, I think there has to be a subset of patients who would function perfectly adequately or even not even adequately, but well with a reduced dialysis schedule. Your point is well taken. All we've shown is KT over V adequacy, nothing else.
You know, I thought KT over V meant everything, right? You mean there are other things besides KT? Okay, I got it. Jeff.
Again, on the ultrafiltration bandwagon, you started to mention access considerations for using your small device, and I wondered what your thoughts were about what type of access, how you were going to get it, how you were going to keep it from being infected, and all the other usual complications.
Point is well taken. At this point, obviously, we have no experience, but with the very low blood flow rates, it's conceivable that some of the access is used for peripheral nutrition and for long-term chemotherapy may be perfectly adequate, and we won't need central accesses. But that yet to be determined.
Okay, because as you're well aware, even when you apherese people or you do other treatments where you don't need tremendous amounts of blood, when you start doing it often, you start to run into a lot of the same problems we have in our hemo patients.
Your point is well taken.
Frank?
This is just a quick comment for Norma and the sorbent technology. Recently, we looked at some of the costs of water for patients doing home hemodialysis, and it can run upwards at times in some areas of the country of $300 a month for a patient, which can be extremely challenging. So just thinking of those transformational changes that might drive the lower use of water and technologies, keep at it.
Thank you.
Nathan?
Dr. Pirner, thank you for opening up a new field of knowledge and interest in hydrogen sulfate. I was wondering if there's a quantitative relationship between the amount of sulfhemoglobin and the overall amount of HDS, H2S in patients. Can you derive a quantitative relationship from the amount of sulfhemoglobin?
The amount of?
Sulfhemoglobin.
Ah, okay. I see what you mean. Yes. No, we didn't do any calculations about sulfhemoglobin and H2S in plasma. Actually, we are now moving forward to other measures of chronic exposure to H2S because, for example, lanthanin and homolanthanin, which are considered stable byproducts of H2S in blood, because sulfhemoglobin, it's mostly based on a ratio between the total hemoglobin, oxidized hemoglobin, so it's not really also a straightforward procedure. So we're thinking this is what's going on right now, to seek for other measures of H2S chronic exposure. Thank you.
Yes.
Hi, Shubho Sarkar from New Jersey. This regarding the H2S again, hydrogen sulfide and nitric oxide seem to be having similar effect. Any crosstalk between them or any way they have interaction?
No, they have a lot of interaction, but there are quite many studies, but some of them show that H2S interferes with the action of NO because they bind and they form nitrosothiol. So, but in other studies, it's a facilitator of NO action. So actually, there must be much more than it appears, and there are conflicting studies, but for sure, there are many, many interactions. Thank you.
Dr. Schopel, you mentioned that we've not had any prospective randomized trials, nor will we ever, looking at the various choices that you described. Yet you showed us data comparing the different kinds that obviously are observational and retrospective data with the problems of selection bias, etc. How are we to interpret those data, for example, patients who get preemptive transplants compared to those who do not, are a different group of people than are those who wait and have to get both pancreas and kidneys simultaneously. So how do you think about, or how should we think about those limitations to the data as we look at your recommendations?
Yeah, that's clear. That's a downside of registry data analysis. These are not prospective studies. And especially in it's nearly impossible correct all the numbers. In terms of the what to do with the condition, I think what's probably reassuring is that all these data are very consistent over the last 10 years. They also have been duplicated in other countries. This is as good as it gets.
It's as good as it gets. Okay, we'll take that. Well, all right, then this concludes this morning's session. Thank you to all the speakers. We will start promptly at 10:20.